I sat at my dressing table examining my mirror. My long brown hair was carefully pinned tightly to my head. I ran one hand over the nestled pins to ensure they were securely fastened, then lifted the heavy molded rubber mask on the table, stretched the opening in its rear wide with both hands, and slid it over my face and head. I pulled the mask's molded features over my own with a rubbery rustle and the hiss of trapped air escaping, smoothing the slack, doll-like features into place. I zipped the back snugly closed, taking care not to catch the pins or my hair in the fly. Stretched tightly over my nose and mouth, the latex features seemed to come to life. I opened my mouth and adjusted the mask lips, making sure that my own nostrils were aligned with the rubbery features of my new face. Leaning forward for a closer examination, I frowned, then showed my teeth. It was a perfect fit. The openings at the eyes met the edges of my own eyes exactly, allowing me to flutter my lids, which already had fluffy fake lashes attached, naturally. The seam was nearly undetectable. An observer would have had to study my face closely and for considerable time before he or she realized that it wasn't the one I was born with. I slid my hands over my now naked pet and noted the little bumps of my pinned hair were hardly noticeable under the thick latex covering. Smiling with satisfaction, I lit a Virginia Slim ultra long and let the smoke escape through the mask's finely molded nose. As I smoked, changing my expressions and watching my reflection in the dressing table mirror, the mask transmitted each movement exactly. The fit was simply amazing, better than that I could have hoped. My new rubber face was absolutely lifelike, except for one very important thing. The face that looked back at me from the mirror was that of Marilyn Monroe, an actress who had been dead for more than 30 years. The features in my reflection had been painstakingly molded and painted to match those of the movie Goddess. All I lacked to be Monroe's exact clone was her shimmering platinum blonde hair. Well, that can be fixed, I thought, grinning at my reflection and watching a bald Monroe grin back at me. From a foam wig stand on a dressing table, I stripped a wig styled in Monroe's fluffy blonde hairdo and slipped it over the top of my latex mask. I adjusted it at the sides and back, fluffed a few curls down to my eyes with a large comb and looked again. A perfect match now, I thought, taking another puff from my cigarette and blowing a thin stream of smoke from lips pursed in the goddess' sexy pout. I looked at the other four wig stands, lined up on the table, each fitted with another incredibly lifelike rubber mask. One had the face of Marlena Dracic in her middle years, before her beauty started to seriously fade. Another bore the features of mature Judy Garland. A third was an absolute match for Dolly Parton. The last was Diana Ross, only in a darker skin tone, and molded to fit over my upper body and breasts like a back-sipping latex sweater that covered my upper body and breasts and concealed my own pale skin. Each was fitted with the wig of the star's best-known hairdo, elaborately curled back tresses for Diana, straight, dark blonde hair parted in the middle for Marlena, loose brunette curls for Judy, and a blonde stylized country and western queen's fussy do for Polly. I looked at Monroe's sexy but innocent face in my mirror and took another drag on the cigarette. In a way, the masks had been a desperate move, but I had been feeling increasingly desperate. Maybe my latex disguises would let me achieve the success I felt when I was just beyond my reach. Maybe they would finally let me move up to the big time as an entertainer and make some real money. Enough to move out of my cramped apartment, buy a car, and acquire something to wear besides the costumes I had purchased for my act. Maybe even some nice jewelry, for a change. Diamonds would be nice. I giggled in Monroe's breathy voice. After all, diamonds are a girl's best friend. I stubbed out my cigarette and stripped off the Monroe wig, then felt the zipper on the back of the mask. I hadn't had anything to eat since breakfast, and I wanted something in my stomach before I tried out the other faces and prepared for my new show's debut that night. I found the zipper's plastic tab and pulled upward, but the zipper, to my annoyance, only moved an inch or so before it hung up. I slid it back and forth in the zipper track a couple of times in an effort to free it, but it wouldn't open any further. My stomach grumbled loudly. Damn, I muttered. Well, I guess this face is going to have to go public before showtime. I have got to get something to eat. I'll work on it later, when I have some food in my stomach. I started to pull the Marilyn wig back on, then thought better of it. Monroe's twin would draw unnecessary attention, I thought. I glanced at the other stairs, heads, on my vanity, and decided to go with Marlena's wig in an effort to slightly disguise my appearance. I removed the hair from the mask of Dietrich's face and pulled it on carefully, then combed the locks out straight, parting it in the middle the way I would wear it as the German chaussons. Chatus. I studied my image and decided that my face obviously was still Monroe's, but the wig made that fact a little less immediately obvious. It would have to do, I decided.